let me ask you about your terms. Two terms?
Three terms.
Three terms. Is there a difference between the way that the council, you have a council system?
We have a council system of government. The mayor, my first 2 years, it was a strong mayor. Then I changed the charter to make it a weak mayor, because Waterville has had a history of having some mayors that have been less than effective. And my thought has always been that a good mayor can always help. A bad mayor can really hurt in a strong mayor form of government. So we changed it to a weak mayor. So now a good mayor can still help, and a bad mayor can't hurt.
Okay. Well, is there a difference in now between your first term and this term? When you look at the way that you relate to your council, or more importantly, the way they relate to you? I mean, obviously they would have been skeptical the first term. Have things gotten friendlier?
I would say that when I first went on the council, became mayor, my council was all Democrat, and it's always been mm-hmm. Democrat.
Because it's Waterville.
It's Waterville. I would say that the first year, because I had a strong mayor form of government, I had the last word, and therefore I was fairly successful. When I changed it, when we changed, the city changed it, uh-huh. but I led the charge. I initiated and led the charge for it. In fact, I led the charge asking that the mayor's salary be reduced and they take away the veto power, but they elected to leave the veto power in, and now I think they regret it. So I think that now the relationship has gotten much, much better. I would say that the conservative and the moderate element of the council has been working with me very well. The chairman of the council, Dana Sennett, has been absolutely wonderful. Fred Stubbert. There are some that are very, very good. There are still two or three that are, you know, considerably left of center, and they fight every little thing I do. But what I learned, the skill I learned as mayor, which is something I plan to bring to Augusta, is I bring it to the people. Like right now, we're having a big discussion on the taxes. I'm against raising them. The council wants to raise them. And so I made him an offer. If you're going to raise the taxes, we have to send our school budget to referendum. Let's put the entire budget to referendum this year. And let the people decide if we're going to raise their taxes.
To which they said,
absolutely not. So if they don't do it, that's the only way I would not veto. If they would do that, I would not veto the budget. But if they attempt to raise taxes, I will veto the budget. And then they'll have to take the wrath of the people. I really believe we need to engage our citizens into government. We need to. We absolutely have to. We cannot just simply do what we want in Augusta and not be accountable to those who elect us. And I believe that I look at the taxpayer and the voters as the stockholders of the company. And they can vote you in, they can vote you out. And they're key. And people that tell me that the citizens will hurt government if you give them too much authority, I think are wrong. They're simply wrong. It's a government of the people, by the people, for the people. We have to do it. There's no options. That's how you have to run our government.
Right.
And in the last 8 years, you've noticed we've gone to referendum way too many times. That's bad government. And so I'm in favor of taking it to the people.
I don't know anything about your mayorship, obviously, at all. Do you have an open door policy if I'm
Absolutely.
Interested?
Yes.
And do you plan to continue that as governor?
Yeah. As mayor of Waterville, the first year I was mayor, every Saturday morning I would open City Hall from 8 a.m. until noon, and for anyone could come in without appointments, just to show up and we'll sit down and talk. And that went on for several months, at which time I met with a whole lot of people on a whole lot
of... So a lot of people took you up on that.
Yes, very much so. It works very, very well. As governor, two things I'm going to do. I will do that for the first 6 months of my term, minimum.
Anybody can just, I could just drive over
on
to
Saturday mornings, when I become governor, on Saturday mornings from 8 to 12, anyone in the state of Maine can walk into the governor's office and speak to him. I will make that a policy for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I intend to have one meeting a month in a separate county, a different county every month in a different city throughout the term. I want, when I say I want to take it to the people, I mean I want the people involved. We speak of apathy, that nobody cares. The reason why is we lock the door on them. We have to open it up to the people of Maine. I will go to Aroostook County. I'll go to Washington County. We will start by going to the county seats. Once we've covered all 16, then we're going to go start and take a different,
spreading out
a different community in each county. And we are going to have our cabinet meetings, and we're going to open it up to the public.
Quite ambitious, but I've heard, I've been on the trail a lot. I've seen you speak a lot, but somehow I always miss the first part of this story. I've heard you tell it several times, but I always come in late. You talk about, and I don't know if it's in relation to Martins or Waterbelt, but about going to the DEP.
Mm-hmm.
And then making you count Buffalo. And can you tell that story real quick?
Sure. What happened is, prior to going to Martins, I ran a company for about 15 years as a turnaround consultant in the state of Maine. I would work with small businesses throughout the state that were in financial trouble or had difficulty with operations. One of my projects was a power plant in Du Bois, Maine, in the eastern part of the state. And my responsibility there was to complete the construction, get it commissioned, get the plant commissioned and online. And what had happened is they were way, way over budget and way behind schedule and all types. So the bank that was lending the money removed the management and put me in.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things I encountered was I had to do a survey for the state of Maine. And we spent 3 months running around the state looking for buffalo. And the only one we found was in Hancock County at the Trenton Zoo, the Acadia Zoo in Trenton. And then the following spring, we had to do a black fly study. We had to count black flies and identify species, which is insanity. Currently, the city of Waterville and the town of Oakland, because they're connecting their sewage system together, there's two systems now. We're going to close an old one, hook it into the Waterville system because it's a newer system.
And consolidate that way.
We're going to consolidate, and the state is making us do an Atlantic salmon study.
What did they just say to you? Go do a study on salmon?
Yeah, if you want your permit, that's what you have to do. And so that's
Is that related in some way to the sewage?
Well, they're saying it is, but I don't see why, because the affluent, now this is another thing that people don't know in Maine, that the sewage treatment facilities in the state of Maine, in order to discharge into the rivers, the water quality has to be higher than drinking water level. And so in Waterville, the DEP is looking for us to upgrade our system, spend $8 million to upgrade our system so that we can exceed drinking water quality. Right now we're at about drinking water quality, but the standards, the rules say we have to have, I think it's 17, no more than 17 parts per million on copper going back into the ocean, into the river, and drinking quality in Maine is 25 parts per million.
Really?
That is absolutely true, and that's one of the ones I'm going to attack first. That is absolutely insane. It is bad government when you just spend for the sake of spending.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason that I can't take if I take a Poland Spring bottle of water and put it in the river, I'm violating state rules.
Because it's not better quality.
It's not better quality. And how insane is that?
It's pretty insane. Although, many of the stories that I hear, and many of them do come from you, the buffalo and now the Atlantic, the whole thing, they're all insane. And it just kind of makes you wonder, what's the motivation?
Now, the reason that I can bring those up and I can talk about them, because I'm involved in them.
Right.
as
you
running
see him firsthand.
I see him firsthand as a mayor, mm-hmm. because the people come in and say, well, you have to do this, this, and the other thing. It's just foolishness. Absolute foolishness. We've gotten to the point where we've gone way beyond using common sense and using science and using technology. We've gone to the point of just an emotional, someone in the department decides, well, I think it ought to be more this way, and that's what they write the rules on. And that's why the legislature has to have a firmer hand on the legislation which they passed.
Is there anything else that I'm skipping that you think is important that I maybe didn't cover?
No, those are...
You were running traditional.
Traditional.
So you could possibly use donations?
I most certainly can use donations.
How would one go about doing that?
If someone wants to contribute to our campaign, you simply go to www.lepage2010.com. And that you can donate through a credit card, or if you prefer sending a check, you can send a check for LePage for Governor, and it's 438 Main Street, Waterville, Maine.
Thank you very much, and I hope to be talking to you again soon.
Thank you. That's great.
Well, that concludes my chat with Paul LePage. I hope you'll come back again next time when we talk to Doug Thomas, candidate for State Senate, about the things that he thinks are important to us. North of Bangor.